Hey guys, listen up. If your idea of skincare is rinsing your face with whatever's left from your shampoo, it really is time to upgrade. I want to tell you about the new men's line from Arrow Acres. It's made for guys who want real results without all the extra ingredients. Their products are clean, simple, and incredibly effective. From tallow balm that actually heals dry skin to hand-poured soaps that leave you smelling fresh and not floral. If you need a bug spray that works and doesn't leave you smelling like chemicals as well, they've got that. They've got lip balm and scrubs that are simple, no nonsense, and they're made with real ingredients that your skin actually wants. So if you're chopping wood, hitting the gym, or if you just want to stop stealing your wife's moisturizer and not telling anybody about it, well then they have your back. You can check out their full men's line by following the link in the show notes or on Instagram at Arrow Acres Homestead. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Welcome back. We are going to revisit a concept that I talked about maybe a year or two ago. We'll just sum it up like this. Everyone is not a minister. Many of you have heard from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, that everyone's a minister, that pastors are called to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And I'm going to argue here that one of the reasons we have a pastoral crisis in our day, that we have a great need for men to step up into pastoral ministry, is because we have fundamentally misunderstood the great and glorious calling of pastoral ministry, that this is something unique to certain men that are qualified, and everyone is not a minister. Let's go ahead and pray. God, we just ask for blessing upon this time. Help me to be faithful in your word. This pastoral crisis that we are bumping up into, based on generational demographics, based on various things in our country about the devaluing of pastoral ministry and young men that are really gifted and qualified not wanting to go into this calling that is not as glorious, not as esteemed as other callings, doesn't make as much money as going and doing something with your gifts and aptitudes, that sort of thing. God, we pray that there would be just a generation of young men, middle-aged men, and older men that catch a vision of the glory of pastoral ministry, and they would walk and tread lightly, they would pray and trust you, and they would step up into this great call. Pray for our young men that are listening in, that you would call them into pastoral ministry. The need is there. There are churches that need good and faithful men to be pastor elders, and I just pray you'd help them and call them. God, we know that you're going to preserve your church and build your church, and so I know this is inevitable. It's not a matter of if young men are called into ministry, it's when. So God, I pray that this might play just a small part in just one young man or middle-aged man or old man listening in thinking, you know what? I've pushed this off for too long. God has called me. I'm going to step up into pastoral ministry and look to see that others, that other godly men may affirm this call in my life. So help now. I trust you will. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Just got back from Michael Foster's conference. It was really good. I was thankful for that time. Two or three of our four elders got to go, and I was a fifth wheel. Jordan couldn't make it, so I was there with Andy and Kathy and Georgia Casey. Like I said, it was a great time. The content was phenomenal. I'm going to be doing some content based on William Wolfe's talk, just summarizing some of his points, and then just saying how natural it is for fathers to understand Christian nationalism in the familial sense of, if you lock your doors at night, welcome to Christian nationalism kind of thing, and I'll explain that in greater detail in coming weeks. But today, I want to talk about something that Foster did for the pastors that are there during a breakout. He talked through the pastoral crisis that we're finding ourselves in our country. In fact, I've talked a little bit about this in the past, of saying that some of the men that are in the church, they don't need to go into pastoral ministry. They didn't need to go and do something else. They need to go and be a leader of a company, start their business, do whatever it is that they're gifted to do and the way that they can do it that would honor the Lord. But as I heard about this crisis, and I'd kind of sense that as well, but you know, as Michael Foster regularly does, he pieces some thoughts together that people have and have difficulty in connecting, and he connects those, and it just, oh, man, that makes a lot of sense. And when you think about the demographic studies, the, you know, baby boomers, was they were a massive generation. Gen X is a tiny generation. Millennials are a massive generation. And then Gen Z is a tiny generation. What you're going to find during that is you're going to find an ebb and flow in different careers and callings, and you're going to have shortages, and then you're going to have inflated numbers in some category of you know, vocation or calling that a lot of people are wanting to go into. You see this in the trades, where there's a lacking in people that are going to step up into the trades. We need young men that are going to be able to work and work hard with their hands, and we just don't have the numbers of young guys to be able to replace all the guys that are retiring. Similarly, in pastoral ministry, we're seeing this crisis all over the place where there's good churches that can't find faithful pastors. And churches that may 30 years ago have had 50 resumes or 150 resumes when they had a pastoral opening now have 5 or 8. And of those 5 or 8, many of them are untested and untried. And so what do we do about a pastoral crisis? And I think one of the things we need to do just in a small niche way, the people that are listening to this show, is think through the glory of pastoral ministry. And I think one of the big barriers that has to be moved or maybe removed is a barrier that really showed up in the 20th century. It just showed up on the scene, and it dominates. And when I say dominates, it dominates the evangelical mind today, and even the evangelical pastor's mind today, and the confessionally rooted historic pastor today. Also, when you hear this, you're going to be thinking, oh yeah, the default understanding is, yeah, everybody's a minister. And in fact, many churches have in their motto, everyone a minister kind of idea, based on Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. And I've talked about this before. I want to retalk it about again, because I want to relate it to the pastoral crisis, because I think much of the pastoral crisis is there because we've removed so much of the implications of what being a minister or a pastor or a preacher of the gospel is. And we've relegated it into a pastor just equips people for ministry, and the people all do the ministry, missing that, no, hold on a second. Ministry is designated to those that God has called and gifted to pastoral work. They do the ministry. The people do serve. They do acts of service. They offer their gifts. They're part of the body, but they are not doing ministry. Ministry is something that's tied to an office. Officers do ministry. More specifically, elders do ministry. Deacons do acts of service. Members do acts of service. But these tasks of ministry are delegated to those that are called and gifted for the work. Let me explain the mistake, and let me point this out and call you to an article and look up old commentaries. Just look them up. Read Calvin, read John Gill. I did. Read Lloyd-Jones even, what he talks about in his work through the book of Ephesians, when he appeals back to the older understanding of this text. Here's how a modern translation reads and how we all understand it, and we've all been taught. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Here we go. Starting in 11. And he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, I pause there because my reading now, I put a comma in the text, and my reading of it now has caused me to pause because it changes it completely. Now, what we see is that those apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, we've been told that they are called to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Now, when I understood the historic reading and understanding of this, I put a comma in there to help me better understand the phrase. Here's what it reads actually, and how it actually reads, and basically the history of the church has understood this text to read. That he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints, comma, new phrase, not all one phrase, for the work of ministry, comma, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now that changes the understanding of why God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. He gave them to equip the saints. He gave them for the work of ministry. And if that's true, that understanding's true, then it's false to say that everyone's a minister. Everyone isn't a minister. The role of the pastor isn't to train the congregants, the members, to be pastors or to be ministers. That's not their role. Now, if it does mean to equip the saints for the work of ministry, then you're basically just training everybody to be a minister. But that's not what the text has historically been understood to say. Go read Gill. You can read it for free online. Read his commentary on this passage. Go get Calvin off your shelf or read online. You can read it for free online. Read what they have to say about this text. Now, listen to what this book, The Workman Not Ashamed. It is a series of articles about the life and honoring the life of Albert Martin. I commend this book just for this chapter. I mean, if you only get it, The Christian Ministry in the Church, that's the chapter title. It is all about how in the 20th century, a new understanding of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 was introduced to the church. These late 19th century and early 20th century commentaries mark the beginning of a different interpretive trajectory from the earlier centuries. And this is all, this whole chapter is about how we have misunderstood the translation of it, that how modern translations have not connected this as one phrase, or as two phrases, but have connected it as one phrase and not put a comma, where a comma would better help us understand what the Greek is actually saying with multiple phrases. And then we would be able to rightly understand that pastors are uniquely called to this work of ministry. This is really, I mean, I think, changing when it comes to our role, just even as ministers, just thinking through the uniqueness to which God has called us into. You know, for years I've been wondering, you know, why did God call me into pastoral ministry? Why was that burden placed upon me? Why did he give me the gifts that he gave me? And it wasn't just to make all the members ministers. They can't be. They're living their life. They're loving their family. They're out there doing work. But there's something unique he's called me to, and it's this work called ministry. And James chapter 3, verse 1, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that those who teach will be judged with greater strictness. God will judge me to a greater degree. And he will judge ministers of the gospel to a greater degree than everyone else in the body of Christ. But I think one of the main reasons we have, or at least a reason, we have a pastoral crisis in our country today is because we have so minimized the uniqueness of the call of pastoral ministry. We have so minimized the glory of it. And we've jumped right in, I think, with the egalitarian way of everything. And we just said, you know, everybody can do the work of ministry. There's nothing really unique. The pastor just trains other people to be like pastors, to do all this work of ministry. And, you know, see, they can do pastoral counseling. They can bring pastoral care. They can teach the Bible. They can do this. They can do that. They can do all the things that I do. When in reality, God calls men the best of men. And that's what we strive and aim to be the rest of our lives as ministers of the gospel, and equips them to do something very unique that everyone can't do. Everyone can't do what I can do. And in the same way that a plumber can say back, well, of course, everybody can't do what I can do. And that isn't an arrogant or boastful or prideful thing. It's just a statement of fact that I have been, God has called me to do something and equipped me to do something that everyone can't do. If I'm an arm, then there's somebody that's a leg that can't do the work of the arm. Or if they did or they tried, they couldn't do it as well as they can do being a leg, as they can be a leg. So I want you to consider this. I want you to think through this. And if this changes your understanding of pastoral ministry, like it changed mine, if you get that book and read that article, I would encourage you to do that. Then help me, along with Michael Foster, as he's doing his work equipping pastors like myself, to help the men of your church realize that there's something unique. We need the best of men to say, ministry, I think God is burdening me to love these people and do something that nobody else in this congregation can do. To do something that very few people in the world can do. What is that work? Well, it's the work of ministry. It's oversight of the sacraments or ordinances. It's the proclamation and the teaching of God's word that everyone can't do, but we sure do need young men, men of all ages, to answer a call to rightly divide the word, to go and to study and to learn and do what it takes to be the kind of man who can open up God's word and say, thus saith the Lord, who can shepherd with their biblical lenses on and who can take care of people and love people imperfectly as it may be. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been in counseling situations or I've realized that I'm so incompetent in so many ways. Or, you know, the older I get, the more I realize, like, man, I just feel like incompetent to the task. I feel so underqualified so often. Whereas just 5-10 years ago, I was like, you know, you get a chip on your shoulder with youth, with when you're young, where you think, like, you know, I can preach really well, I counsel really well, I've got my composure and I can handle, I know I can read a room and all this kind of stuff, whatever. I know what people need when they need it kind of thing. And you may not vocalize it, but internally you think, you know, God has really equipped me for this and God has helped me. And certainly you give God praise and glory. And then it's like you look back and it's like, man, I still feel like in so many situations, I have no idea what I'm doing. Where it's like, I'm just in conversation with people or in the moment, walking in to preach or walking in to church on a Wednesday night, going to a small group, going to a men's group where it's like, God, I just need, Holy Spirit, please equip me because I don't have all the answers that people need. I don't have all the wisdom that I used to think I had. God, I need your grace. And God, thank you for calling me to this work. Thank you for building me for this work. It's work that other men in the church, they can't do. It's work that women are not built for and can't do. And it's, God, thank you for doing this. But God, I need your help. Holy Spirit, give me strength. And then the men in your church doing things that you can't do, pastors, look and see. The young men that you think God may have equipped for ministry, and maybe he is just is calling them. Maybe we can see a revival of ministry when we restore or see the ministry for what it is. It's a unique, high, and holy calling. It's not something everybody can do. And we've got to stop with this misunderstanding of everybody's a minister. No, they're not. Everybody isn't a minister. And everybody isn't doing the work of ministry. Pastors are doing the work of ministry. And we need more of them. Okay, thanks for listening. Hope it's been helpful. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.